Thank you so much for being here tonight. It has been a beautiful, beautiful day. I don't think we could have had anything any better had we ordered it specifically from God. And we're so glad that all of you are here tonight to worship with us. The Bible in the book of Proverbs 17, verse 17, says, "A friend loveth at all times." At all times. What does that really, really mean? A friend loves at all times. We're having problems again up here, George, are we not? There we are. Okay. It's on both sides? Okay. We want the left to be able to see this because, you know, Jesus said the left were out in left field. So we want to make sure you're able to see this on both sides tonight. A friend loveth at all times. You know, that says a lot. There are some that we call fair weather friends, as those who love you and minister to you, and those who will be your friend as long as things go well for you. But if you have trouble or if you have difficulty in your life, sometimes certain so-called friends will flee from you. And they did even with Christ. Jesus certainly was the friend of sinners. And many of those that were in the friendship circle of our Lord were ones who denied him, who turned their back upon him, who doubted him. And yet when Christ went to the poor, to the downtrodden, and to those who were less fortunate, they were the ones who actually became the genuine friends of our Savior and our Lord. I found some various quotes that I want to leave with you tonight about friendship. And George, you're going to have to advance these where I can see them also because I don't have them up here before me. But I can tell you, I thought some of them were very beautiful quotes and serve to remind us of what friendship is all about. Being honest may not get you a lot of friends, but being honest will always get you the right kind of friends. Let's go to the next one. A true friend sees good in everything and brings out the best in the worst of things. A true friend is an angel sent by God. For true friends stand by your side through the bad as well as the good and loves you when you don't love yourself. A true friend reaches for your hand and actually touches your heart. True friends are the ones who have nice things to say about you behind your back. A true friend accepts you as you are. A true friend believes in you, forgives your mistakes, helps you, never judges you, always understands you, walks by your side, tells the truth, tells you the truth, calms down your fears, and raises your spirit. And then the question is, are you that kind of friend? Are you? How would you evaluate yourself tonight as a friend? How would you evaluate yourself tonight as a friend to other people? Have you ever thought about it? Would you want you to be your friend? Would you really want you to be your friend? In the book of Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, the Bible talks about friendship in a great and marvelous way. And what friendship will actually do. In this particular setting, we find Jesus going to Capernaum after certain days, the Bible says, in verse 1 of that particular text found in Mark 2. And the Bible says that it was noised abroad that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come to him, and they bring one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, or because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? And who can forgive sins only but God himself? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, Arise and take up your bed, and go thy way into thine own house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Insomuch, the scripture says, that they were all amazed, and they glorified God, saying, that we have never seen it on this fashion. Now, to me, this is a very interesting story. You certainly can understand the value of friendship if you had been this paralytic. Jesus has gone to Capernaum. Everybody wants to see. Everybody's interested in hearing him here at this particular time. Even those who were his skeptics and even those who were his critics. They wanted to hear what Christ was going to say. You know, it's kind of like turning on the evening news, and you don't like to hear that evening news, but you like to be abreast of what's going on. And sometimes you may not like a particular individual politically, but you'll turn it on to hear what he has to say. Well, many of those who heard Jesus speak were those who doubted the Christ. They didn't believe he was the Son of God, and they were ready to bring accusations against him. They were ready to blaspheme him. And they accused him of the very thing of which they themselves were guilty. But in this particular setting, there was a man who was sick, this paralytic, and could not help himself. And so four of his friends decide that they're going to bring this man, this friend, into the presence of Christ for healing in his body. And so when they got to the door, they realized they could not get in. There was no way that they could get through the press and through all of that crowd to get down into the presence of Christ for Christ to either speak healing or for Christ to even touch them and bring about a restoration of health in his body. So they came up with an ingenious idea. They thought, well, we'll just go up on the roof. And we will cut a hole in the roof and we will let this man down in right directly into the presence of Christ. And when they did so, the Bible tells us that Jesus saw their faith. And when he saw their faith, he says unto the man who was sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. This is a wonderful story about God, but it is also a wonderful story about genuine friendship. In this story, we actually find three kinds of friends. We do. We find, first of all, the helpless one, because he was obviously a friend of the other four. And then we find the helping ones, who were the four that were going to get this man into the presence of Christ. And then we find the healing one, who is Jesus himself. And I want us to talk about these individually here for just a few moments. I would tell you, first of all, about this helpless one. This man who was sick of the palsy. Completely paralyzed. Can you imagine? You know, we hear sometimes of people being involved in accidents and that would leave them where they are physically impaired and they are sometimes paralyzed from their neck down. And every part of their body, every part of that human body, someone has to respond to. Man can't feed himself, can't go to the bathroom, can't dress himself. Every part of his body is paralyzed, and he is dependent upon other people. Do you realize that in life there are always and will always be those who are less fortunate than you? Sometimes we look at our lives and we talk about how bad we have it sometimes, and you know, it's like the man who said, you know, I felt real bad that I had no shoes until I saw the man who had no feet. There is always someone out in our world who is much, much less fortunate than you are. And there will always be those who must depend upon others. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not a very pleasant sight. If you've ever been to the nursing home, a lot of times you see it there. When people are helpless and they are at the discretion, and actually they are at the mercy of other people there to respond to their needs. And many, many times those needs are not met. And they lay there day after day wondering if some friend will come see them. There will always be choices to make concerning those people in life. The helpless one. But then there are the helping ones. These four friends. And you know, it's always amazed me sometimes what we find in the Word of God and what Jesus chose to, I guess you could say, pen for us and leave for us about His ministry. There are many, many things that we never will know about the ministry of Christ this side of eternity. For in the book of John 20, 30 and 31, the Scripture says, many other things did Jesus in the presence of His disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have life through His name. And so when I read this story, obviously Christ and Mark, who wrote it, being penned by inspiration, preserve this story about the life of Christ for some significant reason. We may not always understand it, but I think what Christ is trying to illustrate to us in this story is what friendship is all about. Sometimes people say, I'm a friend of so-and-so, or he's my friend, or we've been friends for a long, long time. But how close are you as a friend? And as you again evaluate your life, what kind of friend are you? Are you the kind of friend, if someone calls upon you, you say, well, I'd like to help you, but I really don't have time? Are you the kind of friend that says, well, I know you have a need, but I can't meet it. Could you get someone else this time? Are you the kind of friend that says, hey, you know, not why do I need to help you, but when can I come? I don't know who summoned these four to help this man. Whether it was from maybe family members or perhaps maybe just the love of these four who came to his rescue. But they were there. They were there. And I don't really know what went on in this man's life, whether some of his sins actually led to his being paralyzed or not. We don't really know that. We're almost led to believe that from what Christ says when he says, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, take up thy bed and walk. We do know that in the Bible that sometimes many of the sins that people actually committed actually led to certain physical illnesses, but we're not really privy to all that information here. And I suppose had that really been an important issue, then God would have revealed it for us. But the helping ones, the four friends, helped their paralyzed friend. There was no question about it. They may have been busy just like we all get busy in life. And they could have said, well, you know what, I really don't have time for you today, but see if you can give someone else a call. You know, a lot of times when we're called upon in the church to do certain things, many of us offer excuses about why we cannot serve or why we cannot do what God has asked us to do. We don't have time. We've got other things to do that we consider to be so much more important. These four provide for us a genuine example of true friendship. I want you to notice three aspects of their friendship. First of all, their motive. There was no selfishness involved in this. They weren't going to get money out of it. They weren't going to be paid for their services. They were just simply concerned, they were simply compassionate, and they were simply caring folk. Not only do we see their motive, but we see their method also. It required a joint effort. If they were going to get this man in the presence of Christ, it was going to take more than one to do it. We see their cooperation. There was no jealousy here. Each man had a corner to fulfill. Get the picture here. This man is on a clock cot, and he is laying there, and everybody had to get on four corners there in order to get this man down into the presence of Christ. And if any of the four had failed in their effort to do so or to do their job, it would not happen. There was a woman by the name of Kathy Rigby. You may not remember her, but actually she was an Olympic gymnast a number of years ago. She lost in her bid for the Olympic gold, but she said she would never, ever forget what her mother said in just simple 10 words. She said, "Doing your best is more important than being the best." And isn't it true? Someone said there'd be a whole lot more done in the church if people didn't worry about who got the credit for it. And you know what? It's true, isn't it? It is true. But not only do you see their motive, their method, you see actually their manner in which they did it. They were persistent. How many of us would have done that? When they saw they couldn't get to the front door, they decided they're going to go up on the roof and then let him down through the roof. We'll get him into the presence of Christ in some way or another. And they overcame the obstacles in order to accomplish their task. They did not give up. You know, when I think of friendship, I think of a number of things. It has been said that some people make enemies instead of friends because it's less trouble. We see the helping ones. We see the helpless one. But we also see the healing one. And that is Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ would not be much of a friend if he didn't treat us like one, but he does. We often sing that old song, "What a friend we have in Jesus." We would not be much of a friend to Jesus if we didn't really treat Jesus like our friend. Like the four helping ones who bore the helpless body of their friend, Jesus bore us and our sins upon the cross. And you know what? His motive was very simple. He loves us, you and me. That's why he did it. Didn't ask anything in return. You ever thought about it? He just asked us to love him. That's it. We see his method. His method was one of cooperation with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. He bore his corner and he laid down his life for our sins. We see his manner. Why, it was the same of the helping ones. He did not allow Satan's attempts to deter him from accomplishing the task for which he came into this world. He drank the bitter cup of sorrow. For the joy of the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Have you ever really thought about how often the Bible speaks about friendship and some of the great things that are said concerning friendship? In the book of Proverbs 18 and verse 24, the scripture says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." You know, probably every one of us tonight could truthfully say this. I can truthfully say this, and I love my brother very deeply, one in Boston, and I love my other brother who passed away a few years ago very, very deeply. But perhaps maybe in the lives of all of us, there are some that we feel much, much closer to than maybe a physical brother or physical sister because of the spiritual bond that exists between us. I think that probably was true in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. When you look at his life and the ones that walked with him and the apostles that Christ chose, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Sometimes people say, I wish I had more friends. Well, let me tell you how to do it. Here's the prescription for that. If you want to have more friends, folks, you've got to be a friend. Someone said, I went out searching for a friend and did not find one. But I went out to be a friend and I found many. And it's true of all of us, isn't it? If you act friendly, what you sow comes back to you in life. When I think about these four men who were friends of this man, I don't know what really brought about the bond or the tie that existed between these five people. But it must have been a very close one. There's another passage found in the book of John, the 15th chapter in verse 13. The scripture says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. We've all seen that, haven't we? I remember a number of years ago reading about a story that occurred, and it was a true story. It was about a man who was actually in his house. And the house was burning down around him. And it looked like there was no way that man would ever make it out of the house. And one of his close friends rushed into the house to rescue the man. And in his attempt to rescue the man in the burning house, he died himself. He literally laid down his life for his friend. That's friendship. You know, we have a lot of people in this congregation right now with special needs. We do. We mentioned a number of them this morning. Bill prayed for a number of them here tonight. I wonder how quick we are to respond to those needs. Will we sit idly by and wait for someone else to take our place? Or will we pick up our corner? Or will we wait for someone else? And will those needs be unmet because of our failure? I think it's something, brethren, we all ought to think about. And I think it's a lesson that we all ought to digest, not just listen to it and view it. But there's so many within the body of Christ tonight that do have special needs, needs that we can meet. Many times, and I've said this a lot through the years in my ministry, and I really mean this. Sometimes we are people that react instead of act. When we see a friend that has a need, do we wait until they come to us? And when we do, that's called reaction. But when we see a person that has a need and we do something about it, that is called action. That's not reacting, but it's acting because you see the need. It would be like someone who has health problems, like this man. If those four had seen that need, and they decided they're going to get him in the presence of Christ, that's acting. But had they waited for him to say, hey, could you get me in the presence of Jesus? Then that would have been a reaction. I think maybe in the church we do more reacting than we do acting. We need to see the need, be perceptive enough to see the need. Let me tell you how that plays out in today's world in just natural, normal conversation with each other. We say, well, if there's anything that I can do, give me a call. When was the last time you said that? We all say it, and we say it flippantly, and sometimes we don't even really mean it. We say, if I can help you, well, be sure and let me know. Well, wouldn't it have been much better if you saw that they had a need to do something about it and not put them on the spot to have to call you? I perceive, and maybe it's conjecture on my part, but I certainly think it's plausible, that this man did not ask, in this story, this man did not ask his friends to take him in the presence of Christ. But they, out of great love and concern, reach out to their friend. When the Bible says, and when they come to him, that is to Jesus, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh to him because of the press, they uncovered the roof. I doubt that that man said, would you uncover the roof? Do anything to get me in the presence of Jesus. No, but the men saw the need. They saw the helpless one, and they wanted to become the helping ones to get this man into the presence of the healing one, who was Jesus. I hope tonight that we'll see friendship in a little bit different light. As often some people say, you know, there are friends, and then there are friends. Friends who will stand by you when the going gets tough. Friends who will stand by you when you have problems. Friends who will stand by you when you are sick. Friends who will stand by you when you lose a loved one in death. I mentioned to a few folk the other day, even now, sometimes when we have a loved one that dies, we don't do anything about it. We don't respond to it. We don't even attend the memorial service. We want to go to the lake and go fishing. We want to go to the golf course. We have other plans. After all, Saturday and Sunday is my only day off. If you want to have the funeral, have it some other day. Someone said something to me not long ago. They said, you know, folks have got to where they just don't go to funerals anymore. I've noticed that. I preach many of them. I know what I'm talking about. And it really kind of bothers me, and it kind of disturbs me that we don't have compassion enough and concern enough for the families who have lost their loved one. So I hope tonight these are some things that you'll think about in the future. Because at some juncture, you're going to find yourself in that situation, the helpless one. And you'll be saying to yourself, would to God that the helping ones were here. David's going to lead us in a song of encouragement and invitation tonight. And if there are those in this audience who are not Christians and choose to do that tonight, to follow the Christ, and that really is what we ought to be doing, following him. He set the great example for us. And if you're here tonight and you'd like to follow him and commit your life to him in obedience to the gospel and baptism, to be buried in water and raised up out of that water in the likeness of our Savior, then you'll have the invitation, the opportunity to do that tonight. Or as a child of God and a Christian, and you know you're weak and you need the prayers of the Lord's church, or you'd like to rededicate yourself to God to be his friend, then we're going to give you that opportunity also. David, let us stand and let us sing.